I wanted to share something with you that happened here in this church this week. There was a lady who was they had given her 5 days to move out of her home. She had a condo, and they just told her, they were evicting her in 5 days. And she began to pray and ask the Lord to meet that need. Her husband has epilepsy and cannot work, and she supports her and 5 kids and him. So she went to the Lord, and somebody wrote her a check for $6,000. That's exactly what she needed. Hallelujah. I thought that was so good. Hallelujah. So God always meets the need. That's great. And I want to teach you about faith. See, if you don't have faith, you cannot get your needs met. And you can't receive your healing without faith. Somebody's faith, either your faith or somebody else's. But it's better if you build your own faith. This is faith for the last days. And I want you to grow in faith. See, God said each man is given the measure of God's faith. So each one got the measure. You got enough to get saved. And once you ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you need to, it's like a muscle. Me and Kim may have the same muscles, but she may be stronger because she uses hers more. But the more you use it, the stronger it gets, and that's just the way faith is. So, begin to use your faith. Begin to step out and believe God for some things past the natural. I remember telling the Lord, I think they want you, Gail? I'm sorry, there's somebody over here that you missed the offering. Hallelujah. Anyway, as your faith grows, I remember whenever I started, I forget I'm on that. Anyway, maybe they'll back that up, won't play that part. I remember, when I began to believe God, I said, Lord, I want $100. And I told him what I wanted it for. I told him who I wanted to give it to. And so I'm telling you, somebody sent me a check in the mail for $100. Boy, I sent that off. I said, Lord, I want another $100. I want to give it. And I told him what ministry I wanted to give that to. Somebody walked up and put $100 in my hand and said, you know what? God told me to give you this, that you need this. So, I had this $100 thing down real good. God just kept giving me money to give. And I mean, to tell you, after I'd done that for 4 or 5 times, then someone, the treasurer of the church, called me and he said, somebody in this church must really love you. And I said, really? He said, yeah, somebody has given you $8,500. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can't outgive God. But I was learning how to give. I was learning how to believe God for things that I couldn't get myself. In 1 John 5:4-5, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God tonight? Are you? Okay, then whatsoever is born of God, it says you overcome the world. Anything in this world that comes at you, you overcome because you're born of God. So how do you do it? The next part tells you that. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. You understand that my faith is what overcomes the world. That's how I get to overcome the world. Hallelujah. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So do you believe that? Man, you better start saying that stuff instead of saying what you're saying. Hallelujah. I overcome the world. Hallelujah. I overcome in every area. You need to start saying that instead of, oh, God, I got these needs. We're all guilty of confessing stuff that we don't even want. Start saying what the Word of God says. Hey, I'm born of God, therefore I overcome the world. Hallelujah. See, faith is your most valuable asset, spiritual asset. After you're born again, after you got washed in the blood, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, the next thing you need to learn is how to use your faith. Hallelujah. So you say, well, what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I don't have that one up on the screen, but you can write that down. That faith is substance. Hallelujah. It's substance. You say, well, I can't see anything. Your faith is the substance. That's how you lay hold on it. So how it comes and how do you make it work? We need to find that out tonight. See, we need to learn to live by faith. In Habakkuk, and probably some of you new ones don't know where to find that. It's in the Old Testament. It'll be up there. It's Habakkuk 2. It says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just," come on, say it, "but the just shall live by faith." You know what? That's in two or three places in the Bible it says that. Three places, I think, the just shall live by faith. So I ask you tonight, where is your faith? Faith does not come out here. It's not in your head. Faith is it's an inner man issue. It comes out of your heart. You understand? Glory to God. You know something? I can believe God for things with my heart that I can't believe in my head. Hallelujah. See, there's a scripture that says God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. I can't get that in my head, but I can get it in my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get a little excited. Hallelujah. So what will your faith do? Now listen to me. Faith connects you with the unlimited power of God. Faith connects you with the unlimited power of God. It gives you God's ability. Now just think about that. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody should have said, glory, what's the matter with you? I tell you, your faith will give you God's ability. Hallelujah. All you have to do is find out what God can do, and you'll know what your faith can do. Hallelujah. Now, for us to get there, we're going to have to grow in faith. You understand that? That's where the issue is, just like that muscle. Jesus had faith. You know that? And it was highly developed. Hallelujah. He manifested provision on a moment's notice with his faith. See, he got his answer quickly. You understand that? Glory to God. He was exhibit A. You understand? He was the one we are to imitate. He said, "These things I do, shall you do also, and greater things shall you do, because I go to my Father." See, this is what I'm working on, those greater things. Most of the church is not even doing the things. But God said we do greater things. Hallelujah. That's what I'm believing for, those greater things. I'm believing, praise God, to build my faith to a point where I just declare it and it's done. Hallelujah. Bless God. I'm going to tell you something about maybe a month ago, I had a growth come up on my eye. And I cursed it and I began to talk to it and it got worse. Well, just don't get upset when you start talking to something that gets worse. You have an enemy, and he wants you to back off. But bless God, he ought to know by now, I'm not backing off. Hallelujah. I'm like a bulldog. I get hold of it, and you're not backing me off, boy. Hallelujah. Bless God. So anyway, it got bigger, so I called the doctor, the eye doctor. I wanted to know what I was dealing with. Well, when I went in there, he said, "Well, we're going to have to take that off." He said, "I'll schedule you for next Friday." So I called Roy on the phone going home. And I said, "I'm going to curse that thing and it's coming off. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have this." Do you know, Monday morning when I got up, that thing was gone. So I took my mom back to the eye doctor and I said to him, "You remember that?" "Yeah." He said, "Did you get it off?" I said, "Yeah, I cursed it and it come off." Well, he said, "That's fantastic." Yeah, like he didn't believe it. Hallelujah. God is fantastic, isn't he? Hallelujah. Come on, people. That won't just work for me, but you got to build your faith. When you say it, bless God, it has to be. Amen. Glory to God. You need to get your faith out there. Pastor Lyons always says, how many of you have a miracle in motion? I love that. Man, we need to get a miracle in motion all the time. So in Matthew 17:24, it says, on their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you'll find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." Hallelujah. Do you understand? The first fish. There must have been more than one. Hallelujah. I looked at that. I thought, first fish. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. If there had been just one fish that it would have been, he wouldn't have had the first fish. So Jesus always overpays. You understand that? He always overpays. Hallelujah. Or did we ever get the idea that God don't want us healed, that he don't want us free, that he don't want us living in victory? He wants us living. He loves his children. And bless God, the freedom is there. I want you to get in your guinea, okay? You probably don't understand that. But get a little moxie, okay? Come on. Hallelujah. Just decide, devil, you ain't whipping me. If Jesus whipped you, then bless God, I got him in me, and I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. Bless God. How many of you need tax money tonight? You know, bless God, our taxes are coming up, and we need some tax money. Hallelujah. So bless God, we can believe God, and it was instant there. Hallelujah. Now, bless God, you believe for instant. If it don't come instantly, don't back off. Just keep believing God. Hallelujah. The devil tell me, you failed. No, I didn't. I'm just getting stronger. You just hide and watch, boy. You're the loser here. This is our example. See, Jesus listened to the Father, and he obeyed God on a moment's notice, and the tax money came. Now, people argue about whether or not it had been there for years, whether Jesus used his faith to put it there instantly. I don't care how it got there. I don't care how long it'd been there. Hallelujah. All I care is it was there. Hallelujah. Bless God. That's how faith works. I believe we can get to a place where we just believe for what we need, and it'll come as we learn how to talk and put our faith in what our Father tells us. What if you needed a car, and you went to the dealership, and you asked how much it was, and he'd say $24,000, and you say, well, I'll be back in the morning. You don't have a penny in your bank account, but you tell him, I'm going to be back in the morning. Now, you know what? You listen to the Father, and he'll tell you how to get it if he wants you to have that. But see, we got to get so close to him that we hear what he says to us first. Hallelujah. Now, you won't get there in a day, but you need to learn to think on another level. Are you hearing me? See, we've been thinking on the world's level. As I read this, I see God wants to push me to a new level. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Some people are worse off than the world. Christian people. And we ought to keep going up. You may not get there in a day, but you, listen, we're not where we want to be yet, but bless God, we're not where we were 47 years ago.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I mean, we just keep going up. Hallelujah. Bless God. So, you know what? God's people ought to be more prosperous than anybody else. They ought to be healthier than anybody else. They ought to be smarter than anybody else. And I'm going to tell you something. They ought to have more integrity than anybody else. And that's been the problem. You know, people haven't had the integrity. There's junk in the church that ought not be there. We got to clean that out. Your salvation don't depend on it. Jesus' blood took care of that. But bless God, if we want things to work, we're going to have to get our lives straightened out. Hallelujah. Bless God, we need to live so that we're an example to people. I want to be, glory to God, I want to be an example to people. I don't want anybody ever looking at me and saying, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Hallelujah. I want to be an encourager. I don't ever want to be one that will cause people to, you know, somebody tell me something in faith and you discourage them. No, I encourage you. Somebody said, well, you're giving people false hope. You're just getting their hopes up. That's what I want to do, honey. I want to get your hopes up there. Hallelujah. Because you need hope to put with your faith. Hallelujah. She read that. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing is impossible with God. I think you did that. Hallelujah. Bless God. So we have to get a real revelation of who we are. See, you're not fallen man. You understand? Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. I mean, this is exciting, people. I tell you what, you're not fallen man. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. You're a king's kid. Joint heirs with Jesus. You know what a joint heir is? Hallelujah. You know, if we have joint custody, you have full custody, I have full custody. You understand? If we got a joint account, you got access to the whole account, and I got access. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. See, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Whatever he's got, glory, I got access to. Hallelujah. And it's in here already, and we're looking up there, and oh, come down, do this. He came down. Hallelujah. He did what he needed to do, and he left us here, bless God, to take over. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been taking sides. He don't want you to take sides. He wants us to take over, to quit crawling around like you don't have a right to be here. We are Christian people. Hallelujah. We have the backing of all heaven if we'll get our tongue right. You know? Hallelujah. Say the right things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we have to get a real revelation of who we are. When you get born again, no matter how things look, we have to decide to make the Bible our final authority. It says in the Bible, and if it says it there, then bless God, that's the way it's going to be. I don't care how it looks. Now, I'm not talking mind over matter. You know, I heard about this woman went to the airport, and she had a cast on her arm. And this other lady said to her, did you break your arm? No, it's not broke. She said, isn't that a cast on? I know the devil tried to break my arm, but it's not broke. Honey, bless God, we're not calling those things that be as though they're not. We're calling those things that are not as though they were, you know? You understand? I hope I said that right. Anyway, we're not denying that things exist. I don't deny that troubles come sometimes and things happen, but I'm denying it's right to happen to me.
That's right.
Bless God. You know, Satan tried to put cancer on you. You need to say, you don't have the legal right to put it on me. You ain't putting cancer on me.
That's right.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Bless God. Hallelujah. It's not mind over matter. It's faith at work. Hallelujah. God says, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of the King. I'm in the family of God. I'm His righteousness. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a covenant kid. I'm light. Whoa, I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you some things that you are tonight. I am a branch of the true vine and a conduit of Christ's life. That's John 15:1. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. That's John 1:12. I'm a branch of the true vine. Glory to God. You understand? Hallelujah. I'm hooked up to the true vine. And as long as I stay on the vine, I'm going to be all right. Hallelujah. I'm a friend of Jesus. I love it. John 15:15 says, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend. He no longer calls me a slave, but He calls me a friend. Hallelujah. I'm justified and redeemed. You can just get up and holler anytime you want to. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm not condemned by God. Ha, glory to hallelujah. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Come on, people. Hallelujah. I'm accepted by Christ. Glory. I'm called to be a saint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who dwells within me. I'm joined with God, and I'm one spirit with Him. Glory to God. Come on. If you don't wake up, I'm going to throw something at you. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Come on. Hallelujah. Who God leads me in triumph and knowledge of Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I love that. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. You understand that? You're accepted in the Beloved. He accepts me. Hallelujah. See, I just see myself up on His lap and Him hugging me. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a child and an heir. I'm set free in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you understand? Every spiritual blessing. I'm chosen. Ha ha. Glory to God. You understand? I'm chosen. Hallelujah. I'm holy and I'm blameless before God. Say, you don't look too holy to me. Well, honey, bless God, just stick around. I'm getting better. You know, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I was. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven by the grace of God. I'm predestined by God to obtain an inheritance. I'm predestined by God. Hallelujah. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. I don't know about you, but man, I can't hardly stand still when I see that. I'm sealed. I'm sealed by God. Hallelujah. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm made alive with Christ. Hallelujah. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm a member of Christ's body and a partaker of His glory to God. I'm a member of His body and a partaker of His promises. Hallelujah. I'm bold. I'm right. You didn't know that, did you? Hallelujah. Every now and then somebody will prophesy over me and they'll say, God's going to make you bolder. I thought, ooh, Lord, you know what you're saying. Hallelujah. I'm pretty bold already. Hallelujah. I'm bold. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm the light in the Lord. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm made complete in Christ. I'm raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places with Him. If you know that, it'll change your life. You should start saying who you are every day. Quit saying what you're saying and start saying what He says you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Mark 6:35, it says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, you feed them. With what, they ask. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. See, they're trying to figure it out logically. How much bread do we have, he asked. Go and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told his disciples to have the people sit down in groups in the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And Jesus took the loaves. Now come on, hallelujah, you bring it to Jesus. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from these loaves. You say, well, that's Bible time. Let me tell you this time. Last year we had a dedication. Well, it was like a celebration of this little guy going home. And he went to be with Jesus. And so they had called in and said there would be 200 people here. Well, my daughter-in-law is the one who takes care of everything like that. And she came to me and she said, Mom, I don't know what to do. She said, they told us 200 people. We got 400 people here. I said, I know what to do. And we prayed. And you know what? Bless God, they fed every single one of them, sent food home with the family, and fed the worship team back here. Glory, we're talking about a God who's able. See, you don't have because you don't believe for it. Hallelujah. We become so cynical in this nation that if Jesus himself walked up to a blind man and said, what can I do for you? They'd say, get me a good seeing eye dog. Come on. Bless God, we need to get our faith out there to believe God for something bigger than we are. Well, I tried that. Well, you're just a big pillar of faith, I'm going to tell you. You don't try this. You walk it. You believe God. If you can't get it to work one time, keep going. Keep going. Bless God. Get your teeth on that and that word of God. See, you got to make that word first place in your life. You got to believe that word more than you believe what you see, feel, or hear, or anything else. You understand? Glory to God. See, I'm talking about getting things to manifest in a moment's notice. That's what we can do. But we must grow our faith before we can see these things. You understand? Hallelujah. See, God said, follow me. He said, we're to do the things he did. Glory to God. We just thought they were good little stories and we read them and praise God. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus did that? Well, he said, you can do it. Hallelujah. Bless God. Storm, you know, these storms are going to be, you know, they come in the spring. And you don't have to put up with that. Bless God. I remember sitting in here one night when that storm was coming and it showed a tornado coming right at us. And my son texted his wife up here and said, tell Mom to get back here. So I went out there and we went out in the parking lot and we began to tell that thing, you'll turn around, you'll not touch this, you'll not touch our people. We just spoke to that thing and it just dissipated. He said, Mom, I saw it on his phone. He could see it. It said it just parted. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. We don't have to put, man, when a storm comes, people go run and hide in the basement. I get out there and talk to it. Some little kid out there said to me, what are you doing, lady? I said, I'm talking to that cloud. Hallelujah. Bless God. And see, that won't just work for me. That'll work for you. Didn't Jesus speak to the storm and said, peace be still? Hallelujah. And it went. Glory. More than once we've seen tornado, and I'm hearing all of you doing this too. Hallelujah. Bless God, I want to encourage you. But, you know, faith is like money. The more you have, the more you can do. See, faith is the master key, the key to everything. But we must go to another level. You understand? We want to stay down here on this level, but come on, we got to move up. Faith can get your kids' teeth fixed and send them to better schools and pay your college funds and meet your needs. You know, it can. Now, if you're starting at the bottom, don't quit. Keep growing in faith. You'll get to the point where you'll either get the money or God will supply it another way. Hallelujah. That girl, I think, is a new Christian that came just believing God. You think she's perfect? No, probably not. She's just like the rest of us. See, you don't have to be perfect to get this to work. Because I'm a child of God. As long as I know I'm a child and he takes care of me, all I got to do is just begin to listen to him. Now, you can't go out and lay your hands on somebody's Cadillac and say, I want that. And or women telling me they want some other woman's husband. That won't work. You got to do it by the word of God. Hey, listen, I've had people say that to me. Hallelujah. I know God gave me that man. I knew he was married, but my Bible was open on the seat beside me when I met him. See, people get goofy. Come on, we got enough of those toot-doot, 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 you know. Don't get goofy. Don't get goofy. Walk with God. Listen to him. Do what he tells you. I remember when my daughter moved from California to here, and she got a job installing, she's a computer engineer. She got a job installing computers, but she'd been working on that arm that went into outer space out in California. She didn't know how to install computers, but she had the knowledge. So the guy said to her, don't worry about it. He said, I'll teach you everything you need to know. He said, you've got the basics and I'll teach you. Well, 2 weeks after he hired her, he got fired. So she called me and she said, Mom, what do I do now? And Larry knows Lisa. Anyway, she told me that she said, I just don't know what to do, Mom. She said, he was telling me. And I said, I'll tell you what you do. When you hit a problem where you don't know what to do, you pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. And God will show you what to do. And she told me, said, Mom, is the most fascinating thing. She said, whenever I would hit a problem and I didn't know what to do, I'd pray in the spirit. She said, either somebody would walk up and show me what to do, or else somebody call me on the phone and they'd tell me what to do, or else she said, God, just drop it into my spirit. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad you got that help? Yes. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know, if this is your first time here, you probably think, where'd this nutty woman come from? Listen, I've had people say to me, you're a nut. You're a nut. Well, I'm a heel nut. Bless God, I'm a happy nut. Hallelujah. I'm a nut that's got my needs met, so just don't bother me. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, hallelujah, God has all the answers, and they're inside you. The Holy Spirit knows it all, and he's not stingy. Amen. You hear me? Isaiah 55:1 says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Hallelujah. That's the New Living Testament. Isn't that great? See, faith is an international currency. It'll do things for you. See, Jesus didn't have a credit card. He didn't. And he didn't carry a bag full of money either. You know what? I know he had natural things. There was ladies who went with him who had money. But when he needed something, he knew how to get it. See, the church has to grow in faith. Righteousness is very important. See, 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have obtained righteousness. Hallelujah. As you increase in the knowledge of your righteousness, you'll find you'll increase in the flow of faith coming out of your heart. Hallelujah. When they told me I had that mass in my breast, I told them, that stuff can't live on me. She said, well, this is what we're looking for when we do these tests. This is what we're looking for. I said, but you don't understand. She said, but you don't understand. This is what we're looking at. I said, but you don't understand. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And as that, this junk can't live on me. Masses and tumors and cancers can't live on me. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. I love that. If your heart don't condemn you, you have confidence toward God. What's another word for confidence? Faith. See, if you're not walking in confidence, then you're probably in condemnation. If your heart is condemned, you'll not see your faith flow. Try to say that 3 times. Faith flow, faith flow. It's like shining a flashlight through a glass full of muddy water. You know? It won't penetrate. It just won't. But if I clean up the water and then shine the light, it'll go right through. You know, when you clean up your heart from the condemnation of your past, faith will flow like a flood. There's a good one. Faith will flow like a flood. You know, it'll flow. Hallelujah. If your heart is free of condemnation, you say, but I've done something wrong. Well, honey, we've all done something wrong. Didn't Jesus know how bad you was going to blow it when he saved you? You couldn't have got saved if he didn't call you. And when he called you, sometimes I tell him that you knew how I was going to blow it. But you're stuck with me because you said you'd never leave me. You say, well, you shouldn't talk to God like that. He likes it when I talk to him that way. Hallelujah. I tell him, hallelujah. You knew how bad I was going to blow it when you called me, but you called me and you said I'll never leave you. So you're stuck with me. God, if you don't fix me, I'm just going to go around the world. I'm just go every place, a mess, but I'm your mess. But he fixes us. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One lady said to me, you're proud. You shouldn't say that stuff. Hallelujah. Well, bless God, that's not proud. I love Jesus, and I'm so thankful for his promises. And he promised me he'd never leave me, never forsake me. And I can't fix myself. You understand? 47 years almost I've been saved. I was just a baby when I crawled down the altar and got saved. Okay. Anyway. I've been trying all these years to fix me. And I can't. I have to let him fix me. But until I'm fixed, and when I get totally fixed, I'll just go on out of here, you know, because I won't be fit for this world anymore. But you know what? As he begins to clean up my life, you know, I didn't get this way in a day, and if he jerked me out of it today, it might really be troublesome. So God is working on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, what does God really want? He wants you to come into perfect fellowship with him. Perfect fellowship in you. You know, you're in the God class. And he wants you to know you can have perfect fellowship with him because you're in the God class. You have his DNA. You understand? Hallelujah. You don't have to have the things that come down from generation to generation. We've broken some of that stuff off because I've got new DNA. Hallelujah. Bless God. You say, well, you don't know where I live. Well, honey, I know where I've lived a couple times, and I know how God's brought me through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, perfect fellowship is you in the God class without any sense of inferiority. Being able to come to God just knowing, God, I'm perfect in you. I'm mature in you. Does that mean I never sin? No, it doesn't mean that, but I don't practice sin. You understand? I don't practice it. When I miss it, I'm quick to repent. But he took care of that. He took care of that. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. If religion jumps up and says, just tell it, shut up. You know, take that religious head off and lay it down and listen to what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17. I love this. If by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, say much more. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. See, but you're not a sinner because you sinned. You're a sinner because Adam sinned. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. Hallelujah. You're a sinner because Adam sinned. And he said, much more shall the grace of God and the gift of righteousness cause you to reign in life. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17 in the Amplified, I like this. For if because of one man's trespass or lapse or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing, unmerited, overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. Hallelujah. Now, in the sweet by and by, when we all get to heaven, glory to God for heaven, I'm thankful for that. I need some stuff for the nasty now. Okay? Hallelujah. So he said, I can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Through this man, the anointed one, the Messiah. So how does Jesus see you? Romans 8:17 says, and if we are his children, then are we heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. That's how he sees me. Hallelujah. He sees me as a joint heir. You understand? He sees me able to receive whatever God has. When you get in covenant with Almighty God, and that's a whole other teaching, but you'll know everything he has is yours. Hallelujah. When you give him everything, we hold on to our little pile of rocks and want him to bless us. Hallelujah. So that's how Jesus sees you. See, what he gets, you get. Hallelujah. How do you see you? You know, you got to start seeing you like he sees you. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And he has raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him." Glory to God. Ooh, joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. The moment he went up, I went up. Are you seeing this? When I walk, he walks because he's in here. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained." See, you must get this. The devil is after your identity. See, he does not want you to find out who you are. He don't. Everything spreads from there. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For both he who is sanctified, making men holy, and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brother." He said, "He calls me in the family." Hallelujah. He said, "For he says, I will declare you, you're the Father's name to my brethren in the midst of the worshiping congregation. I will sing hymns of praise to you." Jesus calls you brother or sister. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you have to see yourself as that. If you call yourself a worm, you're saying Jesus is brother to a worm. Come on. If you call yourself just awful and a snake in the grass, then you're saying your brother to Jesus is brother to a snake in the grass. Hallelujah. That don't fly, people. Hallelujah. We got to say what he says. We should start out seeing ourselves as Jesus sees us, and then we'll begin to see some results. A child of the king can get more results than an orphan that don't have any backing. The thing Jesus did call you, he said that you're to walk in preeminence. Your inheritance is directly connected to your identity. Remember the Israelites? They said, "We're in our own sight as grasshoppers." What did they want to do? Go to the promised land or go back to Egypt? They want to go back to Egypt. See, the promises are given to the strong, and it's directly connected to how you see yourself. Oh, that's good. Come on. Somebody say glory. I just think you ought to get a little more excited than you are. I just think this is so good. The promises are given to the strong. Are you strong? I'm strong, Lord, in the power of his might. And we all confess, "I'm so weak, Lord, I'm weak." I'm not weak. Hallelujah. The promises are given to the strong. It's directly connected to how you see yourself. You can be as bad as old get out, you know. You're just bad. Go around church, you know, people say, "I mean, oh, glory, hallelujah." I'm not making fun, okay. But I see people, they just, "Glory, hallelujah. How are you?" "Oh, strong in the Lord and the power of his might." You know, and well, that's a good thing to say. But walk it out, honey. Walk it out. When that doctor tells you there's a tumor, or when it's stage 4, how are you going to act then? Come on. Hallelujah. You're going to fall apart. You're going to walk with God. You're going to believe that no matter what the doctor says, no matter what that X-ray shows. Glory to God. No matter what the MRI shows. Hallelujah. God said, hallelujah, "By his stripes I'm healed," and bless God, this body has to get in line. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless God. I always tell you all these stories about me, but when that shoulder was crushed in that car wreck, 4 broken ribs and all that internal bleeding and a punctured lung, and they said I was dying. Bless God, I wasn't dying. You know what? God didn't call me to die then. He said, "With long life I'll satisfy you." And so God did some instant healing, but that shoulder, I had a broken scapula. And he said, the doctor told me, said, "You know, it's a hard operation, not much to pin to, and it's not your primary arm, so you're going to have to learn to live with it." I told him, I said, "I can take the word of God and change that." He said, "Oh, yeah, you're that positive speaking girl." Well, it's more than positive speaking. I took the word of God and in 6 weeks talked to that thing. He said, "I have limited use." He said that I have pain, you know, like it'd be like an arthritic shoulder. And when the weather changed, I'd have pain. I don't have any pain. You understand? And that arm works just like the other one. Hallelujah. Bless God. It's not like I haven't been through some things. It's not like I'm up here just spouting off something I don't know about. You got to take the word of God. Listen, hallelujah. When I went home, poor, no, he's not poor. Roy, bless his heart, he was wonderful. I mean, he had to put me in the bathtub and take me to the bathroom, and he had to get me up and get me down because this was just there. He couldn't even get a washcloth in between that. My arm was frozen, and they said it was asleep and frozen, so I told it to thaw out and wake up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I remember, you know, we decided not to tell anybody what that doctor said. Now, I know Pastor Kevin said Sunday, you know, that you should tell it. Well, he's talking about, see, if you got somebody you want to tell it to, that's okay, but don't go tell a whole church. You know, the Bible says we're to agree as touching anything will be done. So you go tell somebody, the doctor said, I got cancer. Oh, yeah, you look sick. Yeah, now you got two agreeing. You got it. Be careful who you tell what. So we just decided that the Lord didn't want us to tell. So when the pastor came and he said, well, the doctor says, I said, I'm not going to tell you. He said, why not? I said, because he didn't give me a good report and I'm not repeating that stuff. So I talked to that arm. When it was like this, and I talked to it, and pretty soon I began to work it and go a little further. And you know, I slept with Tylenol because I can't take that other stuff. And I slept with Tylenol with four broken ribs and a broken scapula. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. God will meet you where you are. I'm not going to tell you it was a picnic, but bless God, that man took care of me. And he walked me. That first day, we just walked to the corner. And then he kept walking me and building my strength back up. And God just worked with us. And in 6 weeks, when I went back, they x-rayed that arm. And he said to me, most people don't do that well. You'll have to tell me how you did that. Well, bless God. I'm telling you, you just take the word of God. You are quickened. According to Romans 8:11, you're quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God that lives in you. That's right. That's what I told it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me, wouldn't have a bum arm, and I'm not having a bum arm either. Hallelujah. My boss came. I said, look what I can do. He just laughed because he thought, well, I can do that too. He thought there was something wrong with me. He didn't know I couldn't do that. It was John, you know. He didn't know that I couldn't do it the day before, but I just kept on till it was set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, hallelujah. See, what are you going to do when that doctor gives you a bad report? Then you'll see what you're really made of. That's why I'm telling you, before you have anything, get in the Word. Begin to confess the Word so that when a bad report comes out of your mouth, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't even have to think about it. You know, glory to God. See, that's why you need to meditate the Word and say what belongs to you. See, I hate to use myself as an example, but that's the only one I know. So I'm telling you. See, hallelujah. I had been thinking and studying about the righteousness. I mean, going through it, man, I was studying it. And so then when they said a mass, I just, hey, can't live on the righteousness of God. And when they went back and checked, they checked it again, and she said, we don't understand. We got one mass. We got one clear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, my point is that faith can do anything. It gets the job done. It gets you healed. Hallelujah. When you start out, you think, well, nobody gets healed. You know, say you're a new Christian, and you just think, well, nobody gets healed, and there's no jobs. It's hard to make ends meet. Then you begin to move in a little faith. You hear a little teaching. And then you begin to move in faith and you think, well, yeah, the Bible says that by his stripes I'm healed. So I think I better believe for that. Maybe I'll go out and try to get a job. Some people are making it, so why can't I? Then you move to the next step. If anybody's going to get healed, it might as well be me. If I need a job, bless God, God will make one for me. You know? I'll not only make it, but I'll be rich. Hallelujah. I'll not only get healed, but I'll walk in healing. I'll walk in health. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? See, after the next stage, then you begin to believe God so that you can help others get healed. So you can help others meet their needs. Others get out of debt. Do you see why we want to grow in faith? You can do more for the kingdom and more for people. I'm so thankful I don't serve a God that I have to say, well, I'm not sure if God will heal you or not. I'm just not sure. I got proof in the Word that he healed you at Calvary. Hallelujah. So you know what? It's directly tied to your identity. It won't flow through an unrighteous heart. It won't flow through a condemned heart. The enemy will try to make you feel condemned, inferior, inadequate. But remember, when Jesus asked his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Fear contaminates your faith. Your faith may be there, but it's not working like it should. And Colossians 1:18 says that he is also the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he alone is everything in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first and be preeminent. Preeminent means superior in excellence, distinction in something, commendable, superior in power or influence. See, you're his brother. You have the same DNA as Jesus. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus, but Jesus has preeminence. He's the one with the most influence. Jesus is leading it. He's the head of the body, the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I tell you, I think this is so good. Acts 9. And sometimes I send these scriptures to, I send them to Tim and he'll say, you sent me a book. I just sent all these scriptures. But you know what? I've been living on this. Roy can tell you, ever since we got saved, I've been living in the Word of God. I play the Word of God to me every night, all night long. I do. You say, don't you sleep? Yeah, I sleep, but it's going in my spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 9:3 says, now as he traveled on, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell on the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and molesting me? Who was Paul persecuting? Wasn't Jesus. He's persecuting the church. He was not persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting people. Do you see that Jesus wasn't making the separation? He sees it as the same thing. When you get at me, honey, you're hurting Jesus. He'll do my battling for me. Hallelujah. See, Satan wants you to make the separation. But you shouldn't separate. Jesus said there's no separation. You're persecuting the church, he said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus takes it personal. Hallelujah. You can go to the devil and say, give it back, boy. Give it all back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you're one with Jesus. When you get married, the Bible says the two become one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one, not two. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to be separated from the Father. He was one with the Father. Had been since before eternity, before eternity. I tell you, you are one with Christ. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. No separation, because Jesus was separated from the Father, so I didn't have to be. You're more in heaven than you are on earth. If you knew that you were seated together with him, you'd command some things like a king does. You'd begin to say some things that come. Now, to qualify, we are not commanding God. You understand? We're commanding the Word to work, commanding things to line up with what the Word of God says. People say to me, you can't tell God what to do. I never would try to tell God what to do, but I take that Word and make it work. Genesis 45:5 says, now, do not be distressed and disheartened or vexed and angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. See, Joseph was a type of Christ, and he was sent into Egypt to keep his family alive. Joseph was talking to his brothers who'd sold him to slavery. His brothers came, but he was preeminent. He was a type of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, everything Jesus gets, we get. I'm not trying, I'm just trying to get you to see that you're in the God class. There's no condemnation to you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then you can read it for yourselves, but in Genesis 45:17-20, Pharaoh told Joseph, said, tell your brothers to go get your dad and go get the family and bring them here and they can eat the fat of our land. We'll take care of them. He said, don't worry about the junk you got there. Just leave it. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that old car that won't start. Hallelujah. That old furniture that's falling apart. Glory to God. He said, just leave it and you come. I'll take care of you. That's what God said. Leave the world. Leave all this junk and just come. I'll take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he may not do it as quick as you'd like, and he may not even do it the way you'd like, but bless God, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't think about your old life. Leave the condemnation. Leave the guilt. Leave the frustration. Step into what God has for you. He said, I have the best for you. Be not conformed to this world. Don't fall into fallen man thinking, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think like the world, you're going to act like the world. That's what you'll be. See, we got to step up and begin to think like, how would a rich person think? You know, hallelujah. How would they think? Well, I'm rich. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Father owns it all. I may not have seen it manifest like I want to yet, but I'm not quitting. Hallelujah. Watch your speech. When you start speaking like the world, you go down to the level of the world. Then you'll have what the world has: sickness, disease, poverty, depression, trouble on every side. You know what? I tried to be depressed once, but I didn't like it. And I was sick one time. I didn't like that either. And I didn't like broke at all. Hallelujah. Bless God. So start talking what the Word of God says. Glory to God. Your speech will conduct your life. We want to grow in faith. And Jesus spoke to the storm. I told you that, and it obeyed him. Hallelujah. He spoke to a tree, and it obeyed him. Hallelujah. He told that tree, you're going to die. I'm basically, that's Evelyn translation, but that's about what he said. You're going down, baby. You're drying up. Hallelujah. And it did. Hallelujah. Bless God. He spoke to sick people. He spoke to dead people. He spoke to fish. They all obeyed him. Hallelujah. Then he had the nerve to say, in John 14:12, it says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do all that I do. Amen. Now, didn't he say that or didn't he? Yes, he did. Okay, was he just blowing smoke? No. Hallelujah. Did he mean it? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, he said, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he'll do even greater things than these because I go to my Father. Come on, that was Jesus talking. It's in red. Hallelujah. Look it up. Hallelujah. See, if it's in red, it just means Jesus said it. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, Jesus is out to bring your faith to perfection, to maturity. Most of the body of Christ has done nothing with their faith because they got faith and just sat on it and did nothing with it. They never developed their faith. I'm skipping over some scriptures, Tim, because I don't have time to. I'm going to go to Romans 12 now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, that's the church, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. One translation says the measure of God's faith. You got it, honey. You got it. Hallelujah. Every one of God's kids has the measure of God's faith. And Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. See, we see that the grace is a gift, but faith is also a gift. God gave you faith when you accepted Jesus, and you need that to access your faith. So what kind of faith do you have? I'm going to give you just a few of these right quick. Mark 11:22 said, Jesus answered and saith unto him, have faith in God. You can have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? Human faith won't get the job done. It's based on secular belief, logical processing. But, you know, sometimes you know a chair will hold you because you've sat in it before. Because of your experience, you have faith that the chair will hold you. But if that chair looks broken, it probably won't hold me. But that's logical thinking. Bible belief is belief independent of what you've experienced, of your circumstances, your environment. It's only dependent on the Word of God. God is bringing me to the God kind of faith. It works that way. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith come to pass, he'll have whatever he saith. I went to a foot doctor, and I had a something there, and he I wanted to know what I was dealing with, and he told me that I was going to have to have surgery on it probably. Well, I don't come into agreement with that. Anyway, I told him what God would do. I just shared with him. I said, I had this thing on my eye, and I cursed it. You cursed it. He thought that was so funny. I guess he thought I said bad words to it. He didn't understand that at all. Anyway, I told him that I asked him, do you have Jesus in your heart? He said, yes. I said, you didn't get born with him in there. You had to ask him. He said, yeah, I know. I did that. So then he said to me, but if you come in here with that bone straightened out and you don't have that bone anymore, he said, you'll make a believer out of me. I thought, get ready, baby. Get ready. Hallelujah. Just get ready. Hallelujah. So then he heard a knock, and he said, you think that's God? I said, no, God don't speak like that. I talked to him. I know what he sounds like, and it's not like that. Anyway, hallelujah. People may not like me, but they know I've been there, okay? Hallelujah. Bless God. See, the God kind of faith says to the mountain, be removed. That's the God kind of faith. Well, I talked to it and it didn't go. Well, don't stop talking to it. Bless God, it has to go. I mean, the whole power of heaven is backing me up. It has to go. Hallelujah. But see, you look at the circumstances instead of looking what the word said. Keep your eye on the answer side. Hallelujah. See, I believe that what I say has to come to pass. I believe it. What I say will come to pass. Now, sometimes I pray for a crop failure, you know. I say some things I shouldn't have said. Oh, God, don't let that come. I put the blood on that. Sometimes I say to Roy, you put the blood on that. Say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You say, Evelyn, I skid. Say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Roy's had a time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I guess he's going to stick around. He's been there for 47 years. Hallelujah. So if you're lost, you know, you got to know where you are before I can tell you how to get someplace. So you have to locate yourself as you grow in faith. If you call me on the phone and say, Evelyn, I'm lost. And I'll say, where are you? I don't know. Well, how am I going to tell you how to get where you need to go? You got to find something to anchor to. There are several kinds of faith listed in the Bible. And you got to find out which one describes you and where you are. Not where you want to be. Come on. Well, that's where I want to be. Well, don't lie to yourself. In Matthew 8:5, it said, and Jesus entered Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. Well, you can read that on down there where he said, I'm not worthy for you to come. So he talks about being a man under authority. And so when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So that's great faith. You know, great faith, where you can just speak to something. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1:5, he talks about, passing down your faith. You know, teach your kids faith. In James 1:5, he talks about wavering faith. You can read these things for yourself. You need to locate yourself. Hallelujah. In James 2:22, it talks about perfect faith or mature faith. James 2:5, it talks about rich faith, those that are rich in faith. Acts 6:5, it talks about full faith. Hallelujah. Bless God. And then in Matthew 14:25-33, you can read that. It talks about Jesus walking out to them, and there was a storm, and anyway, they woke Jesus up, and he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? So that's little faith. Then another time, when he was in the ship, he said to them, how is it that you have no faith? So the world system is in trouble, and people, we're going to need faith, because people are going to come to you. And in this time, when we're getting our needs met supernaturally and the world is not, they're going to come. Hallelujah. We're going to experience the greatest revival we've ever seen. We need to be ready, people. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I thank you. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, God, that word has gone deep. into the hearts, God, and it'll not be plucked out. I ask, God, that you just surround that and help them to hold fast to that. And I'll just thank you now. I thank you for every single person in here in Jesus' name. And I would ask my altar team to come. Hallelujah. And if you need prayer tonight, we're here to pray for you. Okay? And I invite you to come back next week. Hallelujah. Bless God.